child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far, and if I were a shepherd, I would do my part, but poor as I am, I will give to you my heart. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. His baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. To our hopes and to our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. For unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Anyway, good morning again. I said good morning already, so you don't have to say good morning again. Anyway, the last few weeks I had about the when you become a child of God. Like I've stated, we've all been part of the human race. We were born into the human race. That was the first birth. Now, the second birth that has to happen for you to enter the kingdom of God is you have to experience the second birth. And both births are equally important. One, of course, to become part of the human race. The second one, part to become part of the family of God. Once that happens, it can never be changed, both of them. The human part, where you become part of the human race, and then when you become a child of God, that cannot be changed. The question will always remain, have you become born again? Or born from above, or however you want to word it. Once that happens, both of them, they're irreversible. You cannot reverse them. They are for sure, and simply because God is the one who is doing, who is the Father, and who's holding us. There is no merit or no part that we can do to retain or keep our salvation other than God keeping it for us. Because God could not trust us with that. So he made a promise with himself, and he will keep us. Now the question is, how do we walk with that knowledge? How do we conduct ourselves? What is our walk going to be like? We still have this fleshly body where we make choices, and a lot of our choices are wrong. And we will make wrong choices as long as we are in this body. But there's remorse, there's always repentance, but then there's defiance. You take Jonah, one of the minor prophets, the Old Testament. He was defiant. God told him to go to Nineveh and to tell the people to repent. And he said, I will not. Just in case they repent. He didn't like those people, obviously. So he ran the other way mingled with the common people, went in, went on a ship, and God not only punished him, everybody that was on the ship had to suffer because of it, because they suffered huge loss. Almost their cargo, everything that was on the ship had to be thrown. And then finally they did cast lots, and I don't know how that worked. The lot fell on Jonah, and he said what he did, and they threw him overboard. God had prepared a fish. And there is a scripture that says he went to hell, the gates of hell. And that's where he repented and came back. So he was a child of God, but look how far God took him for him to recognize that he did wrong. And then you look at Daniel. He got thrown into the lion's den for not obeying the king, but God protected him. Totally different. He got persecuted by the government, thrown into a lion's den, God protected him. So there's the difference. Jonah had no protection. He was defiant, and God chastened him. And this is what my text or my message is going to be about today, is the chastening of the hand of the Lord. If you do not experience it as a child of God, you need to look whether you are a child. So I'll get in with that. Let's rise and ask the Lord for an opening of our eyes to receive the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace, for being your children, Lord God, how you treat us as children and do things, chasten us in a manner that brings forth fruit. So Lord God, we will not frown upon any of those, but just allow ourselves to be brought into your will and to thank you that you can guide us to all things in life. So Father, you will allow your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you'll be here with us today, and just open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name I pray this. You may be seated. It's my message I titled, Whom God Loves, He Chastens. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and verse 17, it says, Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It's not talking about your spirit here. It's talking about your physical man. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So he would destroy the temple. The spirit belongs to God. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 5, this is what the Apostle Paul commanded the Corinthians to do if they were not living right. And he says to them, there it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, which would have been his stepmom, and you are puffed up, and you have not rather mourned, but that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For truly, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already. Paul is saying this to them, as though I were present concerning him that has done such this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you are, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan. Remember, just like Jonah was delivered unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, and the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So there are consequences for not walking the walk you should walk. And I do know that there are sins that are more severe, not in God's eyes, but by consequence status. They bear a huger consequence. Fornication bears a huge consequence because of what it may bring forth. Versus, I mean, they're all evil, like gossip, lying, cheating. They're all sins in God's eyes. There is no difference as far as sin is sin. But in the flesh, they bear a bigger responsibility in what they can produce. In 1 Corinthians, again, 6, verse 12, Apostle Paul writing, and again, this is choices that you make in your body. He says, all things, he doesn't say some things, are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. They're not good. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's a choice we have to make in our physical body. It's called discipline. disciplining ourselves. There is a part that falls to us when we walk with Christ, and that's disciplining our body, physical body, in doing things. The spiritual, if we do that, the Holy Spirit can work within us and bear much fruit. And those fruit cannot be attained by works, by working. They are a natural byproduct of the Holy Spirit. And in, again, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, verse 20, 6, verse 19 and 20, Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify," again, this is our choice, what we need to do, "glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And then in Hebrews 12, is what I talked about, chastening here. This is what happens when you are a child of God, and this is what a sign that you are a child of God is: when you do wrong, you get chastened by God. And sometimes that chastisement is only known to you. You will know in your heart how you're being chastened. "And you have forgotten that the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And this is, again, about doing, not walking the walk. "And he scourges every son and daughter whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits," that's our Heavenly Father, "and live? For they truly for a few days chastened us for their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto which we are exercised thereby." In Psalm 89, verse 30 to 34, it says, "If my children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments," it's talking about his children here, "if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him or them, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." Whose faithfulness? It's God's faithfulness. God's name is on the line here. And when you have become born again, it's God's name that will keep you. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips." So that's the joy of being a child of God. There is nothing that will change God's mind once you have become his child to become a reprobate or somebody that is not his child. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 to 32, "But let every man," and this is when we take the Lord's Supper. There is another part of life when we take the Lord's Supper and we don't do it without examining ourselves. There is deeper meanings to this, but I'll give the superficial one here that we see right off the bat when we read it. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself." Remember, we are all worthy when we are born again and washed by the blood of the Lamb. But if you think you're unworthy and you take it, that is also damnation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us worthy. "Not discerning the Lord's body," and again, here it proves, if you do not discern what he did for you, his body, he shed his blood, by his stripes we are healed, and he shed his blood for your sins. And if you do not discern that in that way, then you're drinking it unworthily. "For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many have died," that's prematurely, For we, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And here I have something that, again, I took out of the script of Oswald Chambers to close my message here. It says, Apostle Paul writing, I am accountable to God for the way I control my body under his authority. Paul said he did not set aside the grace of God, make it ineffective. The grace of God is absolute and limitless. And the work of salvation through Jesus is complete and finished forever. There is no such a thing as cheap grace. Grace is grace. The price was massive. Unless they mean by grace when we treat it cheaply. Because grace is not cheap. It came with a huge price. I am not being saved. I am saved. Salvation is as eternal as God's throne. But I must put to work or use what God has placed within me to work out my own salvation means that I am responsible for using what he has given me. It also means that I must exhibit in my own body the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not mysteriously or secretly, but openly and boldly. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Every Christian can have his body under absolute control for God. God has given us the responsibility to rule over it, the temple of the Holy Spirit, including our thoughts and our desires. That's where we all struggle the most. It's not the outward things, it's the things that are hidden, where we all struggle. And that's why God made it, that we cannot please him. It's because he understands. When he did the Sermon on the Mount, he made it impossible for you to please him, because it says, without holiness, no man can see God. Who of us is holy in our own efforts? Even if we start trying to live the Sermon on the Mount of what his demands are, we will fail somewhere. And so Jesus made it impossible for us to follow him with our own merit and effort. In 1 Corinthians 9, I didn't get this verse, Brendan, to put it up, but I just wrote it out here for me, myself. It says, I discipline my own body and bring it under subjection. Every Christian can have his body under absolute control for God. God has given us the responsibility to rule over all the temple of the Holy Spirit, the whole body, including our thoughts and desires. We are responsible for these, and we must never give way to improper ones. See, there's always choices. When those improper ones come, and they will, you have a choice with them. But most of us are much more severe in our judgment of others when we are judging ourselves. And that's so true. We are so quick to judge other people when it comes to how they conduct and live their lives. We make excuses for things in ourselves while we condemn things in the lives of others simply because we are not naturally inclined to do them. Paul writing again, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus was the dying sacrifice. He wants us to be a living one. That means sacrifice your bodies. Not to die, but to live. Die to the desires of the flesh. What I must decide is whether or not I will agree with my Lord and Master that my body will indeed be his temple. Once I agree, all the rules, regulations, and requirements of the law concerning the body are summed up for me in this revealed truth: my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that concludes my part of the message, and I pray that we will start not only saying this is a good message, and that includes myself, but saying, applying this to our everyday walk with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. What does that mean? Praise the Lord. That's praise the Lord in every language on this earth. Hallelujah. We should all shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. My message is a little different. Some of you may not believe it on the internet. Maybe some of you here will have problems. But I want to give to you as God has shown me over the years about what's gonna come, what's happening now, what's in the near future. You want to hear about that? Everybody wants to hear about that, right? You want to know what's going to happen next year. At least we've had enough despots trying to destroy the world. Let's turn it around through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make on this earth. It'll be over quickly. Once God has his people, once he has his numbers, it'll be finished. The rapture hits. And for those of us who aren't ready, we miss it. Are you ready? It's going to be cut short. Don't get caught living for the devil. Don't get caught living for the world. Because it says, watch you, therefore, pray always that you're accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And the horrors that are coming to pass is beyond our imagination. In Acts chapter of the Apostles, chapter 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. That's going to be an awesome time. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. In these days I will pour out of my spirit on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Are we seeing that today? Not too much. A pocket of believers here are into prophecy, into preaching, into visions and dreams. But God says he will pour his spirit upon all flesh. Much of the Christian world will be in the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you love the Lord, you're going to experience it. And I've experienced it. It's something that you cannot explain to anybody. You experience the Holy Ghost. You cannot explain him. People think you're a little off the hooker. They think you're kind of full of wine. I know the difference. I've been full of both. Let me tell you, I know which one is better. Hallelujah. But he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It'll be that simple, that quick. call upon the Lord, you shall be saved. You can do it now, but the problem is Satan is there. Ah, that's not real. But the time will come when God will speak to you and you will know it's real. And when you do call upon the name of the Lord, you know He means business. He will pick you up and He will make you part of His kingdom. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to be saved? I sure do. That's all I've been living for since I've been 27 years of age. How to get saved. How to be saved. And when God opened my eyes, how it works. You got freedom. You got joy. You got peace. You know exactly where you stand with God. Once He puts His name on you. Do you know you have Him? He said He'll make short work. We can fast run out of time. In Joel chapter 2, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord, for your God, for He has given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. The former rain has come at the day of Pentecost. The latter rains before the harvest is coming. It's starting already. You have to understand something. In the Old Testament, there are types and ways that God tries to teach you how the New Testament runs. We know that the blood on the doorposts of the houses of Israel meant the cross. Whoever was in that house did not die. And this is exactly the same. The rain, the power of God will come down. We had the former rains. It's been 2,000 years. The crops have come up. Billy Graham has sowed billions of seed. They're not going to stay dormant. They're coming up. He was all over the world preaching the gospel before there was a plane to fly. And that's what we're doing today. We're on the internet. We're preaching the gospel. We're reaching the whole world. And that's when the latter rain will start to pour. And it's going to be over quickly. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We haven't got much time left. God says He'll do a short work. Are we ready? The rapture could happen tomorrow. Even though I feel we'll have a few more to bring into the kingdom. But according to Scripture, looking and hastening the day of the Lord, He's commanding us to do. We're supposed to look. He may come at any moment. Are you ready? Do you know that you know that you belong to this God that saved you at the cross? He didn't just die for the fun of it. He paid for your sin and my sin. He gave himself for us. The Bible says he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I became righteous as God himself because I took on what he had to offer. He offered his blood that cleansed me from all unrighteousness. You cannot get into the kingdom of God by trying to be righteous through your own efforts, getting baptized, going to church, or any of those things. A lot of religions out there today, they're trying their best to make laws, rules, and regulations, only to fall short in the end. It's God that has to make you perfect, pure, and holy. And that can only come when you turn to him for salvation and give him your life and heart. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. I don't care how many cults rise up. I don't care how they try to screw up Scripture. The Scripture is written. There is only one name, and that name is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Those of you on the internet, do you know Jesus? If you don't, you're in for a horrifying eternity because it can be over today yet. So open your heart to this God and make him your blessing for eternity. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.
Who are we that a king would trade heaven's riches for a stable and a manger low? Can it be great I am bending down to reach us? Morning star, let this dark world know. Here is our promised one, Jesus, our hope has come. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Glory to God in the highest. Wonderful Prince of Peace, Emmanuel has come to set captives free. With the angels we sing glory to God in the highest. He has brought this great love unto us. Who are we that a king would still walk among us, knowing he would only live to die? Cross of shame, crown of thorns, he still chose to carry. Beauty broken, breathing us new life. Here is our promised one, Jesus, our hope has come. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Glory to God in the highest. Wonderful Prince of Peace, Emmanuel has come to set captives free. With the angels we sing glory to God in the highest. He has brought this great love unto us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. unto us, a child is born unto us, unto us. A son is given, glory to God in the highest. Wonderful Prince of Peace, Emmanuel has come to set captives free. With the angels we sing glory to God in the highest. He has brought this great love.